this is the first time that I've like spoken today. So like the whole, like the pipelines are not clear.
Yeah, I feel you.
Like, I mean, for you, it's like 5:30, right?
Yeah, 5:30. I have plenty of time to talk.
Yeah. Do you like wake up at normal times, or do you wake up at like nerdcore hours?
Bro, I wake up like whenever.
Yeah.
And that's if I sleep.
Yeah.
To be honest.
That's how it is in nerdcore, or just like YouTube, I think, that like YouTuber/streamer lifestyle. Oh, welcome to the Breakfast Club, everybody.
Oh, thank you for having
me. I'm Freeze. I'm here with...
I just completely messed up the intro.
It's cool. You want to do it? You want to do the intro? I'll just chill.
All right, cool. Yo, welcome everyone to the Breakfast Club. You know, we're joined by your host, Freeze, the man himself.
Yeah. And we got Breton Boy. You're not in the booth today, I've noticed.
Not in the booth, no.
No.
We're outside.
It's like a field report. I gotta talk about it. Like, that moment, I mean, it's just like one moment on a stream, right? Like, that was where that came from.
Yeah.
But is that how you normally record, with a like blanket over your head?
It is. It actually is how I record.
Okay. Do you, yeah, like...
I wasn't sure if I wanted to like show people, but then I was like, you know what? Why yeah. not? If I'm gonna record on stream, I want to record properly, so the people are gonna have to see.
Yeah. When did you start recording on stream?
I can't remember exactly. I can't remember what song it was for, but it was like a month or two ago. I don't always record on stream. It's like kind of rare.
Yeah.
But like that one time I decided, because I'd written the verse already, and I was like, well, let's try recording.
I've always thought like,
and, yeah,
that would be really hard for me to do, because I mean, I do like a ton of takes for almost any song.
Oh,
so it's like,
yeah,
like obviously I do my one take songs sometimes just to kind of like prove to myself that I can do stuff in one take. But like,
yeah,
like when it comes to, like most songs, I want to get like, I tend to, so this will be interesting. I don't know like how much you typically do in one take. Cause for me, I tend to write 16s and like 4-bar stanzas. And then usually each one of my takes is 4 bars. Sometimes I do 8 and sometimes I do 2. It just depends on like where I need to take breath or like if the tone changes. But like, how much of a verse do you normally do in one go?
Well, I'm kind of similar to you. It kind of like varies. Like it can be 4, it can be 2, it can be single bar sometimes.
Yeah,
just
on that like NWA, like every stuff. Line punch in type.
Yeah, type deal. Yeah,
I think that my music would sound a lot better if I did like every line of punch in. But like it takes so long. That was actually one of the benefits of recording in Reaper, which I don't do anymore. Actually, I record my features in Reaper when like I get the beat from somebody else, and then I just need to send them like raw audio stems. But like all my stuff now, I do in Ableton. But Ableton is like great for production, but it's like straight up audio recording and editing isn't as good as Reaper's. Like it isn't as simple and easy as Reaper's. So like that's obviously why I record the podcast in Reaper.
Oh.
But like so Reaper has this thing where like you can just record, you can like loop a section and then you can hit record and then it'll just play through it, and it'll play through it on loop, and you can record on loop, and then it'll just save
that's
all
really
of those
cool,
different takes that you can just like pick between. So you can just highlight each different one and like try it out and then decide which one you like. So like when it comes to just doing a lot of takes really fast, Reaper is like unrivaled. So that's great for features, and I do a ton of punch-ins on features. You know, usually because, like, obviously when you're on, like, you'll understand this, like, when you're on a cypher, you want it to be, like, your A game, because there's going to be people listening that, like, haven't heard you before.
Yeah, yeah, mainly because, you know, like, the verses are shorter, and so you only have, like, usually, like, 8 bars to kind of, like, show you, represent yourself on the track, and it's just, like, you gotta make sure, like for my songs, like, there might be some lines where it's kind of like, there might be some, like, downtime in the song where I'm not, like, going as hard as I could be, and I'll be like, okay, that's fine, it's whatever. But, like, when it comes to, like, a cypher, I feel like every line has to hit.
Yeah, every line has to be a bar, or, like, because it's like you're condensing, like, a whole song's worth of bars into, like, an 8-bar section. Kind of how it feels to me. I always feel like every time I do a cypher or even just, like, a feature on somebody else's channel, but especially cyphers, I always, like, unlock some new, like, rap chakra. Like, I learn, like some technique that I didn't have before. Like, I feel like just, like, partially just uploading so much on my own channel, but then also being on, like, cyphers and collabs and stuff, especially collabs, just the amount that I've improved this past year is insane. I feel like a lot of us have.
Yeah, definitely. The whole scene has really, like, improved since, like, I've got to know it and such. And I feel like similar to you, I've, like, with some of the features I've been doing, I feel like I've really gone, like, to another level on some of them. Like, obviously, my first one was the Kuropika one. And if I look back at that compared to some of the other ones I've done recently, I'm like, that was all right. But, like, I'm doing, like, some of the other crazy stuff here. Like, the Mob Psycho one, like, I had to unleash, like, something different for that one. And it's all kind of, like, because the other thing is, like, a lot of people in Nerdcore, like, they don't use, like, the type of beats that I typically tend to rap on. So it's kind of like you have to find, like, a middle ground or maybe a different way to approach it than you normally would.
Yeah, I understand that. Like, for me, it's kind of like, well, sort of like the opposite of the type of beats that you use, but still very different from most of Nerdcore. Like, lately, I've tried to do more, like, trap-inspired stuff, but for the most part, like, I go heavy into, like, old-school hip-hop beats.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, like, 80s, 90s, like, boom-bap. Like, that's where my heart is in hip-hop. Mm. So, like, that's, you know, that's where, like, most of my influences come from, and, like, that's where my style comes from. But, like, it's, for me, actually, I think one of the reasons that cyphers always, like, unlock something is that, like, I'm, so for instance, like, my normal songs will have, like, 90 BPM. That's pretty typical for me, like, 90, 96 BPM, which is that sort of, like, laid-back 90s sort of, like, flow, you know, like, kind of bar out, but just, like, really, like, sort of a laid-back groove. Then cyphers will be, like, 130, 140. And it's just like I have to come up with a completely different flow just to like, because if I went with my normal flow, it would sound like clunky as hell. Like,
yeah.
It would sound so bad.
Definitely. But, like, no, I don't think I've heard a bad verse from you, whether on like a feature or like a cypher or even your own stuff. So You're managing it so far.
that's the goal. I think, like, for me, I have a weird thing with, like, tempo and rhythm, where, like, I get way in my head about whether or not something is, like, perfectly in time, which, like, makes it hard. I think it's because, like, I'm, you know, obviously, like, I'm producing my own stuff, and so I'm, like, editing everything. And if I think something is even just like a nanosecond out of time, I'm like obsessively like shifting it back and forth and like just to just try and get it just right. So I think that like cyphers kind of take that out of my hands a bit, where it's just like, yeah, they're gonna put it in where it probably sounds good.
Yeah, However they feel is on time. So you just have to hope they do it properly.
Yeah. Did you hear that? My stomach just made an interesting noise.
I did not hear that.
This is going to be the episode where I just crack open a box of Pop-Tarts in the middle.
Or get yourself some breakfast. Eat some breakfast on the Breakfast Club.
Yeah, the most on-brand thing to ever happen. I feel like, I could have made some tea. I could have. I've been quarantined in my room for the past week because we've had some COVID in the house.
Mm.
And I do have I have my own kettle and I have tea bags, so I can make tea. I don't have my normal breakfast mug today. I've got my don't talk to me before I've had my podcast mug, which is a very rare piece of McElroy Brothers merch. So it's not their usual like my brother and me stuff.
Mm.
It's like a series that Justin McElroy designed in like MS Paint for charity like a year ago. Like a year and a half ago, maybe. It's one of my favorite possessions because nobody would guess that it came from like one of the biggest podcasts of all time.
Yeah. I wouldn't have guessed
this is kind of a pivot, but like when you listen to stuff as you're just like going around doing whatever, do you listen to a lot of podcasts or do you mostly listen to music?
I mainly listen to music. I do listen to a few podcasts, but like they're not really like music related ones, at least. Like obviously I check out some Breakfast, you know. I got the gossip about the
homies. You got it.
Appreciate
it.
I also listen to, I haven't recently, but I used to listen to the True Geordie podcast. I don't know if you know that one.
What is it?
The True Geordie podcast.
No, I assume that's a Geordie thing.
Yeah, well, it's by this YouTuber. It goes by the name of the True Geordie. And
Welcome to War Podcast.
Oh, wow. But so he started off talking about like just like football stuff, like UK football stuff, and then he went on to just like interview a bunch of different people. He's done stuff with like KSI and Logan Paul about their like boxing and such. He's done stuff with like just a bunch of different people. So his is my like my go to.
So it's like mostly like interviews.
Yeah, it's mostly like interview style kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because like, I feel like interview style podcasts are like where I lean, or just like where a lot of my natural inclinations go as far as like making stuff.
Mm.
But when it comes to listening to things, like I hardly ever listen to interviews. I listen to like a lot of comedy podcasts, and I'd say that I listen to more podcasts than music. Which I don't know if that's like good for somebody who's trying to be, you know, a producer and like a musician, but I don't think I listen to any like music related podcasts.
Mm.
I don't know why that is. I listen to my big one lately has been Hey Riddle Riddle, which is a comedy podcast where they solve riddles and they do improv scenes in between.
Yeah, that sounds pretty interesting actually. I'm guessing it's like is it like an audio one? So it's like they'll like read like the, I don't know how to, I'm not going to describe what I'm trying to say, but like the riddles where like you kind of like read them and then do them rather than, actually wait, that's, never mind, I don't know what I'm talking about.
I'm trying to figure out what other type of riddle there is.
Yeah, I'm like, wait a minute. No, that's more like puzzles, yeah, not riddles.
Yeah, so like they do like some puzzles as well, but like it's mostly riddles because it's a riddle. I don't have to explain what a riddle is.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of an example of one from the show, but but the best part is like the improv scenes because like they'll read a riddle and they'll be like, okay, that's like a weird premise. Like let's act out like if this actually happened, what would that? And they're really good improvisers. They're all three like professional comedy improvisers. So It's Adil Rafai is the guy that hosts it, and he's also on Hello from the Magic Tavern, which I think it's more popular, but that's just like a fantasy improv podcast. So I guess I like improv podcasts. That's fair to say.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
What do you think is like your like biggest interest outside of music?
Well, I guess it's probably safe to say like anime.
Fair.
It inspires a lot of the music. You know, gaming, you know, I am a huge like football fan, or soccer, okay, as you'd say.
Who's your club?
I support Arsenal. Arsenal Football Club.
Okay.
Not going through the best time right now, but you know, it'd be like that sometimes.
The only thing I know about Arsenal comes from the IT crowd, where they go, the thing about Arsenal is they always try to walk it in.
That is true.
Did you see that ludicrous display last night? My American football team, I don't know if you can see the blanket behind me, it's got the Colts logo on it. They're doing okay. They're having a pretty good year. But I don't have any like preferred soccer team. I might get on that, because I've picked a rugby team. Ooh, I kind of like the Sale Sharks.
I'm trying to think.
That's Faf de Klerk's team, and I just really like him.
Fair enough.
So. But like soccer is way easier to understand than rugby. Rugby, there's first of all way too many people on the field.
Oh yeah, it's like 20-20 side, right?
I think it's like 16, but like still, because American football has 11, and that's like pretty much the most of any like major sport.
Yeah,
because like baseball has 9, basketball has 5, soccer has 11. Okay, and then American football has 11 as well. Yeah. And hockey has 6.
6. Yeah. Wow.
So 16. So that makes 32 people on the same field at the same time. That's like to me that's like when I would play like pickup ultimate frisbee games in high school.
Oh.
And is that big there? Do you guys play ultimate frisbee?
I don't know how big it actually is as like a thing, but like we do it in like PE, physical classes. Like they do like some ultimate frisbee stuff, and it's quite fun actually.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for me, it was like just in my circles growing up, it was just like the go to thing. I think because it's like all you need is just like a place to play and a disc, and like you know that's. That's it. And also like the number of players you play with is very flexible.
Yeah.
But like that's how it'd be sometimes. You'd have way too many people playing and you'd have like 16 on a side and you never touch the frisbee because there's like 3 people that can like are actually good.
Yeah. Or just very tall.
Yeah. Which, to be fair, sometimes is me. Do you play sports? Did you like play a lot of sports in school?
Not really. Like I played a little bit of football, like for a local team. I played for like 6 months. That was about it.
What position?
I played as like a striker, but I also played like in the defense as well. It was just kind of all over the place.
I really like playing keeper. That's my like the only position that I really find joy in when I play soccer.
That's fair.
I think I love that thing where like the ball comes anywhere close to like the penalty box area and you yell keeper and you dive on it. Like that's my favorite thing.
I can imagine that is fun.
I did have like a really fun moment one time. I was playing indoor soccer, which is like that's terrifying as a keeper because if like somebody takes a shot, on goal, that is, not just like Jack Daniels on the sidelines. some parent on the sideline is just wasted yelling at the ref. That's more accurate. No, if somebody takes a shot on goal, and it just like, it misses. It like slams against the wall, like right to the side of your head. Mm. And you're like, holy crap, that could have been me. My head would have exploded like a watermelon in a Gallagher routine. But no, I did have a cool moment where like I just like snatched a ball out of the air. So you live for those, you know, small moments of prowess.
Yeah.
Do you have any memorable sports moments where you were like, this is what they're gonna make a movie about? like this moment right here.
On my own? I don't think I got anything.
When I played rec soccer as a kid when I was like 9 or whatever. Mm. The sort of like unofficial rule of the league was that like they wanted everybody on the team to score like at least once during the year. So at the end of the year, like those of us who like were really bad at soccer and like hadn't scored, it was just like it was just a melee of just like constantly getting fed and then trying to like take a shot on goal and then like missing horribly and then just like your team being down by like 20 points because they're like, no, we gotta boost their self-esteem.
Make sure they don't get one.
Yeah. It's kind of admirable. I mean, at that age,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't think I had any good moments playing soccer aside from goalie. When I was like younger, I wanted to play American football, but I was like, I didn't want to play any of the cool positions. I was obsessed with being like a place kicker or a punter. Like those were, which are the two least cool positions on the field, but like that's what I wanted to do. So I would like punt a football in my backyard just like for hours.
Well, I'm not gonna lie to you. I don't know too much about American football. I literally only know like the punter and the quarterback. That's it.
I think things have changed a little bit, like as far as like popularity or like acknowledgement of certain positions. Ever since like Pat McAfee started doing a show, so like Pat McAfee, he was the punter for my team, the Indianapolis Colts, for years, he got really popular after he retired as like a podcaster and like a comedian, and so like because he just has like a massive personality, he's like really known. And so, like, because of that, people have a little bit more, if not respect for punters, they have like awareness. Oh, so I was gonna ask. This is another pivot. What about Wumble? What is a Wumble? Where did that come from? What was the inspiration there?
Oh boy, here we go.
And was that your first music video?
That was my first music video, yeah. My only music video, I think. Yeah.
The thumbnail for that video, I think, says like Vivo on it. Was that ironic or was that clickbait?
That was ironic. That was actually added in later. That wasn't the original thumbnail. I actually had a friend who like saw it and was like, yo, I can make your thumbnail look cool. And I was like, yeah, sure, go for it. And then they added in the girl and the Vivo. And I was like, oh, this is interesting.
I love it.
Yeah.
But like, did you just want to make a banger and you were like, this is the way to do it?
Essentially, I was just like, because like Kendrick Lamar, Humble was like really popular at the time. So I was.
Oh, so
like,
this was like a spinoff spoof of Humble.
Yeah, it was like a remix freestyle kind of random thing. So I was just like, I listened to the song. I was like, okay, well, I like this song. Let me just make like a remix of it, just because. So I got my phone. I just freestyled to it. I put it into my Audacity, made the video, and like that was it. Well, at first it was just a video with just a picture. Then I was like, I kind of want to do a music video, just because why not? I tend to do a lot of things. Why not? Because why not?
Well, it seems to be working out pretty well for you.
No, yeah.
But my favorite part, well, first of all, like I love like grassroots, like independent music videos where it's just like your friends filming. Like I love that. One of my biggest dreams is to just like be close enough to enough other nerdcore artists that we can like, you know, make like janky homemade music videos like that all the time.
Yeah.
My favorite thing is that it has a blooper reel at the end, which you don't see in a lot of music videos.
Oh yes, the blooper reel that's longer than the song itself.
Yeah, a lot of people would have less brave people would have made that a separate video, but here we got it all in one. It's like when you buy like the DVD of like a concert, like a tour.
Yeah.
And so they have like the concert, and then they have like the like backstage afterwards.
Oh yeah.
All about the sea stuff. I really like the vision that you show at the end, where you're like, this will be in slow motion. This will have a cool effect on it. This will all be great.
I don't know how it came out like that. I just kind of, I don't know.
I think Wumble is an enduring classic that will only rise in popularity.
I'm hoping
and
it doesn't.
May I say, a lot better than my old stuff.
Oh no, you can't be serious. I believe you have better stuff than your old stuff. Probably better than Wumble.
Oh no.
I don't believe you.
To be fair, my old stuff was like mostly MLP related, so like it's very hard to compare the two.
Yeah, that's fair. Actually, it tends to be a lot of people with like a MLP background in the community.
Yeah, it's true. I've talked about it before, but like obviously Rustage is like probably the biggest example.
Yeah.
But then like yeah, like Shabadi and like I'm trying to think of like who else major, but yeah, it's like it's a fair number of people, and I think it's too. It's like there's like the people that like started out in the MLP fandom, and then you know like they moved, like they went on to like bigger things, and then there's the people that are like never talk to me about how I used to be in the MLP fandom. I think for a lot, like that was a weird thing back in the day of like brony pride, like air quotes, there was a big thing, because like there was partially like the actual stigma, and then there's a lot of like perceived stigma. So like you couldn't really be like you had to just like go like double down. Yeah. At the time, you had to be like really like proud of it, which like is kind of a funny thing, because it's like anyone should have just been able to enjoy any show,
whatever.
Like,
yeah,
it shouldn't have been a big deal, but because it was like made a big deal, you had to double down. And so I think like a lot of people who were like super involved back in the day are now like, okay, yeah, like I don't have anything against it, but like I had to double down so hard at the time that it was like my like primary identity, and like I don't really want like that to be
what
my
I'm
legacy.
For. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I get that. I think fortunately for me, I was never that known when I was making Pony Music, so like it doesn't really affect anything that I do now. It's just like I'm still friends with a lot of people from the fandom. Did you start out in like any particular fandom, or like have you always just sort of been like general like sort of like anime fan, or it's like you're...
Well, I've never really been like too deep into like any fandom, but I guess I was pretty big into Sonic back in the day. I'm still I'm still a big Sonic fan now, despite like the drop off in quality in the games. But I was like huge on Sonic back in the day. I'd be like watching all the YouTube videos. I'd be like looking at just a whole bunch of stuff, like everything. I guess you could say I was in the Sonic fan.
I think yeah. That's I've never been in the like Sonic fandom, but I've always really liked Sonic, like the games, the character. Like I'd always pick Sonic over Mario, like just out of the two. I think like overall Mario probably has like consistently better games. That's probably not even that close, but like I prefer Sonic and I prefer Sonic games. The first game that I ever beat technically was it was like original Sonic for the iPod Nano. Like I had old iPod Nano, like the screen was like an inch. It had Sonic on it. And so you know how hard like classic Sonic can be anyway.
Yeah.
Some of those like water levels.
Oh yeah.
But like playing it on that tiny screen. And I beat the game 3 times because I was just obsessed with it.
Oh, wow.
And it was like... recently, I was at my friend's... And he had the same, like... pretty close to the same game. And you could play it with, like, the Apple TV remote. And that brought me back.
The Apple TV remote.
Yeah, but to me it's like it's weird playing so like because I play Sonic Generations now
on
PC, and like one of the few games that I use a controller for, and because playing it with a mouse and keyboard would be whack.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
It's it's weird like playing Sonic or seeing Sonic on like a full screen, as opposed to just like a it's like no, Sonic is supposed to be this big. It's like thumbtack size.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
But.
No, but I think like getting back around to like Wumble, like in the like the Boof, like all that stuff. I feel like one of like the like I don't know, part of your charm, I guess I'll say, is like you tend to intentionally or not, you tend to be very memeable.
Yeah.
And like I think that's only a good thing. But like how What was like your first what was the first like thing that people started saying to you whenever they would see you around? Was it the Aya?
I think it was the Aya. I don't think there was anything too much like that before that. At least to like the general kind of scene.
Yeah.
Aya has always been like it was weird because like when I made Thunderclap Flash, like Ayo was not like a big thing initially. It's just kind of something I said in the hook, and it was kind of catchy. But then it was ever since I showed it in Fable's live stream, or Fable listened to it, and then he made such a big deal about the Ayo, and now no one can stop saying it.
It's not a bad thing to be known for. Like it's not a bad catchphrase.
Yeah.
Like for me. I still have people just yelling Kermit at me because because of a comment on the Haikyuu cipher that nobody agrees with. They were just like, freezes Kermit now. Freezes Kermit.
Oh.
I mean, I've leaned into it with the Kermit shirt that I picked up a little while. Did you see that? It's the You're a Wizard Kermit design. It's just Kermit in like a old timey wizard hat, and he has a gun. He's like, "Behold the greatest spell of all. Are you ready to meet God?" It's like my favorite image of all time.
I don't think I've seen it. I need to see that. That sounds
I'll send it to you now so you can react in real time.
Oh snap!
You're a wizard, Kermit. This is easily my favorite image on the internet. Here's a lot of it being on shirts and stuff. Where's the original picture? Well, this is close enough. Here we go. Oh wait, I've got the wrong disc. Okay, it's coming in hot.
Ooh. Oh my. Why is he stood like that?
I don't know. It's a power stance.
I don't like it. I'm fearing right now.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Kermit about to put a 90-er back like Kageyama.
Oh, that's a good reference. I like that one.
That's one of my favorite bars of all time.
Of all time.
Honestly, yeah. Like my favorite bar of all time will always be "So I know you know I know my foes are naughty. I'm about to come up like Keanu when he knows karate." Right. That's my favorite bar. It's Dopey Ziegler. But like that's up there. I feel like you have really memorable bars and like ad libs. The ad libs are really like really far and above what I think you find from a lot of people. Where does that come from? Is that just your natural swagger?
My natural exaggerated swagger. Well, it partially comes from listening to a lot of XXXTentacion and Ski Mask. Like, their ad libs were freaking crazy. So it's kind of been like ingrained into the style of how I rap. I like to go above and beyond with the ad libs. Just make it a whole party. Why not?
Yeah. For me, like, a lot of the rap that I listen to, both like early nerdcore, you know, people like Schaefer the Dark Lord and like MC Fernalot, and then like classic hip hop, there's not a lot, well, of like the stuff that I listened to and was most influenced by, there's not a lot of those ad libs because it's kind of just like the flow is constant. It's just like bar on bar on bar.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot of like empty space. The track doesn't breathe a lot. So like I've only started doing ad libs this year, like really these past few months. Because like just like from like your stuff and like Connor's stuff, like I was like, my tracks need this. So I'm going to just like change my writing a little bit to add like a little space so I can add ad libs. I've had some wild ad libs. I'm trying to remember like some of it hasn't come out yet. It's on like other people's songs, but like, I've just kind of started wilding out with ad libs. Like my Clone High, my like JFK Clone High song that I just did, this week. I just have this line. Let me see if I can find the like exact line.
Yeah. I need to listen to that rap still. Cause I was so confused. Cause I saw the tweet and I saw the snippet and I was like, wait, JFK Clone High. I didn't understand what was going on.
It goes so hard. And like, I just know that if anybody were to like start making TikToks with that song, it would be the next thing on TikTok. They love JFK on TikTok. The line is, so it's, I never claimed to be an honest man like Abe, but the ladies all seem to understand that they would rather be with the player with the back for days, right?
Mm.
And then the ad lib on the end of that line is just me going, buttocks. Which is probably the best ad lib that I've ever done.
Oh, wow. Yes. Yeah. I need to go and listen to that one quick.
Nobody should sleep on the JFK thing. I think like my last two songs have been very much like, I don't know. I don't want to say like meme tracks, but they kind of are like Smooches for the Homies. And then JFK Flex are both kind of, I don't know, just kind of hype. Yeah. Oh, so this being the
breakfast.
I've said that before, I think, or somebody has breakfast. This being the Breakfast Club, I have some would you rathers and some will you press the button questions. Ooh. If you're down.
I am down for that.
All right.
Let's do it.
So today I'm using my regular site, which is either.io for the would you rathers. I switched away from willyoupressthebutton.com just to see like what other sites had to offer. And I found one called Button Boo that's exactly like Will You Press the Button, except like some of these questions are majorly busted.
Oh, wow.
Like there's no, like the spelling is amazing. And some of the questions are just like, there's absolutely no like filter on it at all. So jeez. I found some of the more normal ones. I found three of the most normal ones that are on that site. But it's still wild. So do you want to start with would you rathers or will you press the buttons?
Let's start with some would you rathers.
Okay. All right. So here's what we got. Now, one of these I'm not completely sure. I might have done it before, but that's the beauty of like having different people on. You can ask them the same questions and it doesn't really matter. Or two of these I might have asked somebody else before. But I think they're good questions. So this one is, would you rather snort one crushed up Altoid mint? It specifies that it's spearmint.
Spearmint. Oh boy. Okay.
Which is not the usual Altoid flavor, so that's interesting. Or take a shot of Tabasco sauce. So it's kind of like, do you want to get like cold blasted or heat blasted?
You know what? I'll take the sauce. I'll take a shot of the sauce. I could be able to handle it, maybe.
For one thing, the sauce is not going up your nose.
Yeah. That's the...
I mean, that's a pretty big one for me. Yeah, do you normally eat, like, spicy stuff?
I have a good spice, like, tolerance kind of thing. Yeah. Like, the extra, like, the hottest sauce at Nando's is not that bad for me. So, I would hope gives me a chance to handle the Tabasco sauce.
I think that's not that bad. That's not all that much. And Tabasco is pretty mild as things go. Yeah, I like the heat as well. I've not been to Nando's, but I'd say most places, yeah, the hottest sauce is fine for me. I have had the hot ones last dab sauce. At least their old. I think they have a new formula, but like their old one, which is like 2 million Scovilles or something.
Wow.
I haven't had like a full wing of it, but I've had the sauce and I survived. So I think we both go the Tabasco sauce.
Tabasco.
Do you want to guess the percentages on these? That's kind of like a sub game that's sort of like
ooh, I'm sort of coming to being. I'm going to say like 55 to the sauce, 45. I feel like this one might be kind of close.
It's actually not that close. It's 64-36. But yeah, the people were in favor of the sauce, which I think is smart. Like, I think the fact that you're snorting the mint is a pretty big deal.
I think that, yeah.
I don't know, I'd rather snort the sauce. It might clear my sinuses. All right. So this one is another would you rather. It's would you rather have extremely muscular arms or have extremely muscular legs? So when it says extremely, I'm just going to say like it would be like so just like The Rock. Like you have like The Rock arms or like The Rock legs, but like proportional to your body size.
Yeah. That one's a pretty close one. Well, I guess it makes it easier to climb and stuff if I got the muscular arms and I can kind of like just flex in front of people. But I guess the legs.
It's harder to flex legs.
Yeah. It's a lot harder, but you could probably be able to run faster. Kick harder.
Yeah, those powerful kicks.
It's
kind of like, do you want to look like a kangaroo or not? Because, I mean, whatever you choose, the rest of your body is going to look smaller by comparison.
Yeah. So you want to be more top heavy or like bottom? I'll go with the arms. I'll go with the arms, just for the flex of it.
I'm probably going with the legs.
That's fine.
I just want to be able to jump high. I'm hoping that I'll be able to jump.
Oh, yes, that would be.
I think if I have very muscular legs and not a lot of other body mass, then it'll let me jump. Yeah, I just want to be a kangaroo. I think that'd be cool.
Maybe.
My answer is that I would like to be a kangaroo.
That's the true answer. That's your true spirit animal.
You want to guess the percentages on this one?
I feel like more people might have gone with you. I want to say 57 to the legs.
It's 47. Actually 69, nice, to the arms.
Oh, interesting.
I think that probably just tells like who
likes kangaroos
who's on,
who
like
doesn't.
who's on here. Like, I've never read the comments on here. I really should.
Oh, they have comments?
Yeah. I've never noticed before. This person says, I care more about my legs than arms, but biceps attract the ladies. Yeah, but I'm pretty sure not if you just have my massive biceps and like...
I don't think that's like all skinny. You need.
Nobody likes the skipped leg day look. This one's just is very opinionated. It says, yes, but this question is kind of saying, if a genie asked you this, what would you say? If you pick muscular legs, you would look stupid. No explanation, just if you pick muscular legs, you would look stupid. You don't look stupid in front of this genie. This person says, I choose arms, if you know what I mean. I don't.
What do you mean? What does that mean? If you know what I mean. I'm scared. I'm genuinely scared. What are they going to do with those arms?
What those arms do? Oh my. This person has a comment that is so... they've added so many O's to a word that it's extending off the side of where the comments go. Like there's like a comment section that has like a clear line, like a border. And then I guess due to the way that this website is coded, it doesn't have like automatic line breaks. So there's just a string of O's going straight across the border, all the way like to the other side of the webpage. It just says, holy moly, I'm so... And then, like, all those O's.
Yeah.
Strong like Superman.
What?
All right. You know how Superman just has really big arms and the rest of him skinny? I've got to check out more of these comments on some of these other ones. I just saw the clarification in the original question. It says, picture a professional bodybuilder. The muscles would be like that. So you got those old school DPS type arms.
The DPS build.
The DPS build. All right, we got one more would you rather.
All
right. This one I'm pretty sure we've done before, but it's would you rather always be overdressed or always be underdressed? And I assume this means like
for events,
too fancy or too casual, not like cold.
Always. Let's see. If I'm always underdressed, got the job interviews are not gonna be great. I'll pull up to my wedding in shorts. I don't know. And then overdressed, we pulling up to school in a suit and tie.
That's kind of fresh, though.
It could be actually.
You might end up with that like in betweeners thing where people like pull a briefcase wanker, but like, there's the hazard. But I think it depends on the school.
Yeah, I think I might have to go with overdressed. Might have to go with overdressed.
I think I'm gonna go underdressed because I've never been comfortable when I was like dressed up. I don't like dressing up at all.
There is that too.
So like, yeah, I'd rather be comfortable. Also, yeah. I don't go a lot of places.
That's fair.
I feel like being underdressed, I feel like if I get like a threshold of like, okay, this is how casual it has to be, I feel like I could work within that to find something that's like comfortable and looks nice, but isn't dressed up. Like you wouldn't show up to a wedding in it, but I would.
Well, you would.
I would that's do that. Thing. See, are there any comments here? This one says, "I've always wanted to wear a tuxedo everywhere I go." this person is a magician.
Ooh.
This one says, "Guys in suits are the sexiest."
Fair.
All right.
Fair.
We just change my answer. this one. Oh.
Oh no.
This one said, "I already do with my jacket, fez, and bow tie," and I was like, okay, Matt Smith, right?
Oh, wow.
And then I looked, and the name on it is The Doctor with a picture of Matt Smith.
No
so
way.
That's, yeah, so The Doctor, I guess, is on here.
Oh, wow.
This comment by Gus says, "I once turned up to a formal event underdressed. Never, period, ever, period, again, period." Gus, we need more details.
Yes, what happened?
What happened, Gus?
I need
is this,
to know.
Is this Gus from Cinderella? Did he sew the clothes himself? and that like it didn't turn out?
I don't know. Maybe he got kicked out.
I need to know what disaster befell Gus. Never, ever again. Never, ever again.
Never, ever. Like, if he never, said ever. Never again, it's like, okay, something must happen. But yeah. Never, ever again.
Never,
that's definite.
Ever, ever, ever again.
That's something crazy.
That's some trauma.
You do.
Hope
he's okay.
So, here's some Will You Press the Buttons. I feel like one of these is kind of normal. The other two are scuffed.
Oh, boy.
So, this first one is, "You can be super smart, but your IQ goes down to 40 when you see your crush." You press the button.
Wait, when you see what?
When you see your crush, your IQ goes down to 40. The rest of the time, you're at like, say, like 150.
I'll press the button.
I feel like this happens to me anyway.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm kind of with it.
I get like full on like Tanaka, just like Tanaka Nishinoya, like whenever.
Oh, literally.
Yeah. Head empty, like no thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see this as an absolute win. So I think, yeah, we're both pressing this button. Wow. You want to guess the percentages on this?
I feel like they're high in favor of pressing the button.
It's actually almost a dead split.
Oh.
Yeah. I think this is from people who maybe like have their crushes at school and they see them every day. And so they're like, well, so the whole time I'm at school, they sit right in front of me. I'm not getting anything done. That might be it.
That's an interesting angle. Yeah, that's probably it.
I also originally thought that this said your IQ goes down by 40, which would be fine.
Fine, yeah.
But it's actually your IQ goes down to 40.
To 40.
So, yeah. That's pretty low. But again, I feel like that's what happens to me anyway.
Yeah.
So that's a press for me. Here's another one. This one says, "You can have any dinosaur be your pet, but that's it. Enjoy your dinosaur."
Oh.
This one's giving me deja vu. But anyway, what dinosaur would you like?
I don't know. I could be boring and say T-Rex. But I don't know. I feel like I should know more dinosaurs. Well, what we got? We got T-Rex, Pterodactyl. We got, what are the other ones? I haven't done history
well,
in a minute.
So, like, the major ones, like, the big, like, the popular dinosaurs would be, like, T-Rex, Apatosaurus/Brontosaurus, Brachiosaurus, Triceratops, Iguanodon, Parasaurolophus, pretty popular. That's like, I think that's the same as like a duck build. Velociraptor, Utah Raptor. Did I already say Stegosaurus? Stegosaurus is pretty.
Stegosaurus. Ooh, which one is? I need to check which one that one is.
Archaeopteryx, I think, is, if not a dinosaur, like, pretty close. Pterosaurs are not technically dinosaurs, but it doesn't. I wouldn't hold it against them. Chilesaurus is pretty cool. I've actually got a. That's Chilesaurus right there. I don't know if you can see that.
Ooh, ah, I see.
Yeah. Cool looking dino.
I feel like
my dino app shows them with feathers, which I really like.
I feel like I like. I feel like I like the Pterodactyl. Because I don't know, maybe if I need to get somewhere, it can like pick me up and fly me.
They're not technically dinosaurs, but I'll give it to you.
Fair enough.
They're close. They're pretty close.
Let me have it. Please. It's like one of the four I know.
I would take a. Yeah, I don't know. Like a pterodactyl would be cool, but I would probably take a non-flying dinosaur. I'd probably take a. I mean, it's got to be an Apatosaurus. Like, that's my favorite dinosaur. Apatosaurus, Ajax, because that's the more known one. You don't really know what you're getting into with Apatosaurus louisi. So, yeah, I'll take Apatosaurus, Ajax. Now, I don't know where I'm going to keep one. they're kind of jungle animals, but they're herbivores. Ooh. So you could just kind of feed them trees. They're cool with that.
That works. Maybe find some space for them in the back garden.
Yeah. I don't know if our like our neighborhood code allows for dinosaurs. Here's what I'll say. It doesn't say anything about dinosaurs.
There you go. There's the exploit right there.
There's the loophole. Okay, you wanna guess how many people did not press, just like a number?
I wanna say like it's gonna be a low amount. It's gonna be like 20%.
Okay, let's see. Oh, it doesn't actually give the percents, it just gives the numbers. So it's actually, yeah, it's about 20-25%, but still, that's pretty high to me. That's pretty to me. Like, that's who doesn't want a dinosaur? Who is out here not wanting a dinosaur? Maybe who's out here like dinosaur? Yep, gross. Like, who also, there's like tons of like little dinosaurs. There's like most dinosaurs, I'd say, are pretty small. And then there's also like previous to the dinosaurs, there were these like sort of proto dinosaurs that were like also pretty small, and I would count those as well. But like a lot of dinosaurs were like the size of like chickens, so and I mean, chickens are technically dinosaurs as well, so maybe people just don't want to get stuck with chickens.
Yeah, maybe.
So here's one last one. This is all the right. Last. Will you press the button?
Here we go.
Here, I'm going to read it word for word as it's written. Remember that this is from the Scuffed website, not from willyoupressthebutton.com.
All right.
This one says, "Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down. Nemahama bunna bun abun and ban ban ban."
What?
Will you press the button? And once again, what? The question is, never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, Namahama bana bun abun and ban ban ban. Oh yeah, I think it's Nebahama bana bun abun and ban ban ban. If that helps.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that. What does pressing the button do? I don't understand.
I think it summons Cthulhu.
Oh no!
I'm fairly sure that pressing this, nothing good will result of pressing this button. I think
I'm gonna not press this button. I think I'm good on this one.
All right, let's see. Wow. Okay. So I'll just say this is another almost dead split, but slightly on the side of did not press.
Yeah.
So 405 people summoned an Eldritch Horror, and everyone else, I guess, is fine.
It's just what I'm confused. I don't understand.
Yeah.
For like
it's something, huh? This one doesn't have comments. I wish, so this site doesn't have comments. I don't remember if Will You Press the Button. I think Will You Press the Button has comments, so I might have to go back to that because I've never checked out the comments before.
Yeah.
And the either.io comments are pretty choice.
Those comments are quite good.
Yeah. So I'm gonna have to return to that well, I think, in the future. But for now, I guess it's probably we're good to start wrapping up. I'm gonna hit the folks with a good vibe, I think, and then we can start to bring this chapter to a close. But that sounds like really like somebody's dying.
Yeah,
like that. How's that descend into my casket? Just backwards like a vampire.
Season one of Breakfast ends.
You know, maybe I should do this in seasons. Maybe that would be the thing to do. I don't know.
Maybe.
So it's a thought. So yes, here's a good vibe for this week. I haven't done much the past week. I've been like, you know, like I said, quarantining or whatever.
Mm.
But yesterday I was on Reddit in the comments it was like an Avatar The Last Airbender post. And it was kind of like somebody was wondering like whatever happened to like that Earth Kingdom family that Zuko stole the like ostrich horse from.
Oh yeah.
And they were like, well, like, I don't know, like he had to have like, you know, done like gone back and like, you know, bought them a new one or something, you know. And somebody linked a fanfic. Like of that. It was like and it was just like a really, I read it and it was the first fanfic that I'd read in like years. And I used to like really like fanfic. I used to be really into it. I used to write fanfic.
Ooh.
What did you not used like to... scandalous fanfic.
What did you used to write just, about? Like,
it was like MLP stuff.
Oh, right.
Mostly. Although my first fanfic was Percy Jackson.
Ooh.
That I wrote. And then yeah, I did a lot of like MLP stuff and I did like I think maybe like a Redwall thing and like some other stuff. Mm. It was just like a really like wholesome story. It was really cute. It was just like, you know, it had that signature fanfic, like, you know, like grammar and formatting errors that are just kind of like part of the charm of it.
Yeah.
Which reminded me of like back when I used to, like, I got my start as an editor, like editing fanfic. And like, yeah, it kind of brought me back and I was like, I kind of want to read more fanfic now. Like, I don't know if I want to write more fanfic, but I want to like dip back into that world and see what's going on. There's some really good fanfic out there. Like, there are some fanfic authors who, like, I don't know why they're writing fanfic, but also like, write what you want to write. Like, there's nothing wrong with fanfic, you know. It's just like, it's kind of one of those like, what are you doing here? Like, you should be in every bookstore, like,
writing your own. Yeah, I do. I've read a few fanfiction and thought that sometimes. I guess
I have to technically say, like, the last I have read a fanfic in the past few years. It was the Shrobody X Freeze fanfic that somebody wrote.
That one.
So aside from that, this is the first one. But yeah, sorry, you were saying.
When's that one gonna? That one needs a sequel.
I mean, hey, whoever's listening, get on that. Yeah, there really needs to be more homie on homie fanfic.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe, who knows? Maybe there is some more Nerdcore fanfics out there. We just haven't explored it yet.
Oh, I'm sure that there's like a ton of Rustage fanfic on Wattpad.
Oh boy.
I will be checking that later. But like, no, there's gotta be. I think like it's just a natural inclination. I mean, like, it is a little weird to me when like people write fanfic about real people.
Real people, yeah.
But like, I don't know. It's, I think that honestly the level of weird it is like completely up to the writer.
Yeah.
Because I've seen some weird stuff and I've seen some like kind of like, oh, that's nice. I think like the Shrobody X Freestone was just kind of like, oh, that's nice. Like, it was, yeah, it was, yeah.
I'd definitely like to see like someone write like a no-code fan fiction of just like everyone being in like a high school or something. It's like nerdcore.
Oh yeah,
high. I think like that would be really funny actually.
Yeah, nerdcore high would be dope. Yeah, no, that's I or any kind of like alternate universe nerdcore thing. So yeah. like nerdcore fantasy would be cool too.
That like would be cool.
Yeah.
You've got.
I think that would be like Schwabity's speed. He would read that just because it's fantasy. Just I think because, that's how you get him.
I can imagine it. You got like Rustage the hero. You have NOJ as like the villain from the kingdom. Then
DPS is like the deity, probably.
Yeah, he just comes down. And he's like, "What are you guys doing?"
he's like the deity slash like sensei, I think.
Yeah, I could see.
He's like
that.
The really powerful, like bald sensei. You know what I mean? He's got like godly powers.
I could see that definitely. Then when he has to,
yeah,
he'd be like a Roshi when he has to get into his bulked up form easily.
Yeah. So yeah, all of that is this week's good vibe. Yeah, I guess we're good to wrap up. Breeden, where can people find you online? Where do you hang out?
That's a good question. You can find me on Twitter at BreedenBoy. I be on YouTube as well. That's where all my nerdcore stuff is, on my YouTube stuff. So close to hitting 10k at the time of recording. So if you're not already subscribed, I'd really appreciate it if you could. You know, we're on Instagram at BreedenBoy Official. Don't use it too much, but who knows. Twitch, I'll be streaming just whenever. I don't have a schedule, you know, just whenever the vibe feels right, I just stream.
Whenever the spirit moves.
Yeah, whenever I'm brought forth. I'm trying to think, what else? SoundCloud, I guess, if you're a SoundCloud person. And yeah. I just be around.
He'd be around. Links will be in the description too, so make sure and check that out. If you're listening on YouTube, that is. If you're not listening on YouTube, you can check out Fneased. That's my second channel where I upload this podcast, F2CED. And if you're listening on Fneased, check out my main channel, Freest, which is where I put all my music and stuff. You can also find me on Twitter at MeFreest, on Instagram at FreestRaps, on TikTok, I guess, at Freest. That's new, but I've put a few up. Some of my songs are also on TikTok, so if you want to use one in a video, you can. I'm gonna try and get like as much of JFK Flex on TikTok as possible because I feel like it's very TikTok friendly. Smooches for the homies too. There needs to be more of that. It's like 15 seconds right now. It's not enough.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But there you go. Oh, I'm also on twitch.tv/ Freest with six E's in the middle. FreeEeEeEeCed rolls right off the tongue. I should be streaming soon. I've been saying that for like 5 months. So
yes. Come on, Freest. You got to get on it.
I know it. I think we're getting there. I think we're really getting close. that's all I can say. But yeah, thanks everyone for listening to the Breakfast Club. Thank you, Breeden Boy, for coming on. It's been an absolute delight having you.
Hey, yeah. Thank you for having me.
Hey, yeah.
I have to hit one.
And for everyone at home, remember to drink some water, take your pills if you need to, and take care.
Peace.